Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. War of Ages has just released their new concept album based on Revelation called Dominion. This album is dedicated to Caleb Lubachow, who completed the drum tracks before his unexpected death in 2022. Leroy called me while he was on the road to talk about all of this, so I hope you enjoy it.
Well, first of all, before we get started, I'd like to say I'm totally bummed y'all didn't make it to Uprise.
I know. Yeah, we were pretty bummed, to be honest. We just got done playing the Erie show, and it was great. I mean, it was insane. It was, just amazing show. We were like on cloud nine, packed up, and then we're going over to my sister's to sleep over there and to kind of hang out. She had Mexican food made, we were like, yeah. And then I said, okay, I'll see you guys at Devo's. And then click, no start. And I went, uh-oh. We spent like an hour trying to find someone to like jump us. And then we found someone finally. So it started up, and then you could just tell it was starting to die, and then it died. And we're like, this is the alternator. This is definitely the alternator. And being Friday night, we couldn't call anybody then. So we had to like call around Saturday morning to find someone that was open that had a Mercedes-Benz alternator for a Sprinter, and it's just the whole ordeal. So the plan was to make it, because it was like a 4-hour and 12-minute drive, no stops. I'm like, okay, if we can get done by like 1 o'clock, we can make it. So like I asked Uprise to give us until like 1:30 to like make that decision. And then obviously, like, we didn't get done with the alternator until about 4:30.
Yeah, and one of the things we were going to do at Uprise was this interview, and I was going to have everybody with you. But like you said, what are you going to do? And is it even a tour if you don't break down, right?
That's the War of Ages motto. I always feel like every time we go out, it's always something. There's always something.
New album just dropped, Face Down Records, Dominion, another masterpiece.
Well, thank you.
20 years. This is like your 10th album, right?
Technically, it's our 9th full length, but we did the EP Rima, so that it would make it 10 if you're counting actual physical discs that have been sold.
Okay.
With an album cover, then yes, I would say 10th.
So how in the world do you keep doing this?
Well, I love what Elijah, our bass player, has to say. Sheer force of will. So he coined, I shouldn't say he coined because he got it from somewhere. But whenever we're like hitting a vocal part that is like out of range, like, oh my goodness, I don't even know if I can do this. He looks at me, he goes, Leroy, sheer force of will.
And then you got to do it, right?
Yeah, then I'll just close my eyes and go for it. And then it gets there somehow. Don't know how I'm going to do that live, but it's going to get there on this record. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So what I understand is this new album, Dominion, is a concept album. Is this your first concept album?
Yeah, it is. So the album itself is very bold. I think that's pretty, you can tell just from lyrical content. But it's not that I haven't followed biblical content before. This album, I just used Revelations as a skeleton, as the basis. And then I wrote around those aspects, but I felt like this is the generation that we're in that is, if you will, the Church of Laodicea. So there's like this watered down kind of like, well, what are we as a Christian? Who are we? We never read our Bibles. We never, we don't really know our butts from a hole in the ground. So I wanted to come out with an album lyrically that was like, we do know our butts from a hole in the ground, and it takes reading God's word and understanding what he's trying to tell us in scripture and taking a bold approach to that in an album and being very, very, very literal with the content and what we're trying to go for. So yes, concept to Revelations with a very bold approach.
Can you kind of walk us through your thought process on the tracks?
Yeah. So like, there's the four horsemen. We wrote about each one of the horsemen. You can see that in Victorium, War, Famine, And then we wrote about a few of the seals, you know, some trumpets and whatnot. But yeah, we really just picked out aspects of Revelations and then dove into them and wrote lyrical content that made sense this day and age, I should say. And what we were feeling too, you know, coming out of COVID, coming out of all these different things that really, really challenged the church. I feel like it caught the church sleeping. And COVID kind of woke us up a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, I hate to use the term revival, but that is kind of the goal and the angle of this album is to spark some fire in some people. And what better way to do that than the book of Revelation?
That is true. Actually, it dropped when I was on the road to Uprise. So I was at this rest stop and I was like going, dang, these lyrics. This is heavy, and it's heavy. So, again, a very consistent album, just in your face.
Yeah.
Where does this fit on your heavy scale in your discography, do you feel like?
I mean, it's real hard for me to judge that because of the fact that we just write what we feel, and then we're like, yeah, that sounds good, you know. But what's actually really interesting about this album is Steve and I have been sharing riffs since, you know, 2003. And 10 albums, riffs emailed back and forth. We've got quite a big stack of what we call the catacombs, the War of Ages catacombs. So we grabbed riffs that were not used in other albums from like back in 2006, 2008, and that were like Steve riffs. And we pulled them in that were partial songs or just riffs that we really liked. And then we wrote around those. So we brought back like what we were feeling and thinking back in the, you know, Return to Life or Eternal Days, you know, Fire from the Tomb, that kind of stuff, and reworked them. And that was kind of the way we came up with a lot of these songs. And then and the other thing that's super interesting is Elijah. He writes, I guess, like 30-second, 50-second clips for, like, video games.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, and some of these riffs that he was writing were just too good. You know? And yeah, we're like, bro, you're not going to use these for video games. We're going to use these riffs for like the next War of Ages record. And he was like, oh yeah, dude, that's totally fine. And so some of these riffs came out of that. And that was a lot of the heavier songs. A lot of the heavier songs were just like, we were playing Doom Eternal and like, you know, that soundtrack's incredible. So we were like, yeah, like we need to write some like heavy, like, you know, like real groovy kind of stuff. So we went that route and grabbed those songs. There's like three of them. You know, I think Death, there was Armageddon, like these songs that were going to be video game songs that we were like, nope, that's how those came about. And then Jack wrote a couple of them like War and Victorium and stuff. And we just all came together and then wrote around those songs. So they kind of just came to be.
Created themselves.
Yes, they just came together and we knew what we wanted. We knew what we were looking for. We knew that it was going to be Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse kind of theme. And so we just went for it.
All right. We talked a little bit about who did what on the album, but to reiterate, you do mostly the lyrics, correct?
Yeah, I do most of the lyrics. And then I did definitely grab Elijah to do some lyrical writing on a few of the songs. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, I do write all the lyrics. But I always like to mix things up. It's like they have four writers to write the music, and it's only one writer to write the lyrics. So I am never, ever like, oh, I have to write all these lyrics. I like to kind of give perspective and different, you know, feels, something that I would probably normally want to write and think of, and or the way that I put my sentence structure, you know, having someone come in with a fresh look, you know, kind of adds a different dynamic. And I really love like the aspects and parts that he like did, because it just gave it another feel that normally I wouldn't do. I would rework lyrics because he's a little too smart for his own good. So, you know, sometimes I'm like, bro, I don't even know what that means. Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, bro, I don't even know how to scream that, and nor what it means. So how about if we dumb that down a little bit?
Does he have a degree in English or what?
He just is a wealth of knowledge. That's all I have to say. Like, he's a very intelligent human being and a wealth of knowledge. So, you know, I respect him in that. But and he's a lyricist, too. So, wow. You know, yeah, it helps out a lot. But he just has a creative way to, you know, write rhythmic stuff. Mm-hmm. In general, and so adding vocals to that, he definitely helps out, you know. And he sits there as I scream all my vocals and he says, try this, you know. So he helps out a lot too. And we've just made it a point to not be married to anything, is what we call it. And that means, like, oh no, this is my part, it has to be like that. Like, we've just made a decision a long time ago that we need to have creative juices flowing and we can't stifle that.
So when did you get to the point on this album where you said, okay, this is ready, this is done?
Well, I mean, super long story short, we were finished with it a while ago and ready to mix it last July, not this past July, but last July. That's what time frame that Jack set aside to mix the album. But with Luby's passing, like, we didn't want to touch it, open it. We didn't know what we were going to do with it, what was going to happen. And we were just focused on Luby, his family, and the mourning process, you know, of all that. So it sat for probably a year. And then when we had the strength to dive into those songs and hear Luby, I mean, you probably can hear the songs at the very end, him talking. And we left that stuff in there.
Okay, I'm gonna start crying.
I know. That was the struggle. I mean, going back into those tracks, he talks all over the place. You know, like, and you hear his voice, and it's tough. It was tough, you know, and it was a challenge for us to go back through that stuff. Now we're mixing, you know, editing and taking out certain things, and you're just like, man. And it was actually Jack's idea to leave some of that in there. It was hard. I remember the first time we got, like, one to listen to, you know, and you hear him at the end. We're like, okay, you know.
We're going to make it through. We're going to make it through.
Yeah, we're going to make it through, you know. But, yeah, at the end of the day, I think that it was very well placed, you know, and with good hearts. Yeah. And we were genuine about everything we've done with this album. The biggest thing is, I see it all the time where bands will use aspects that happen to further their clout,
right,
or further their career.
But he was like your brother.
Yeah, he was our homie. He was our brother. And I didn't want it to be that. But we also didn't want to be like, well, we're done. And his hard work that he wanted to see go through, see the light of day. So we felt that was wrong, too. So it's just this dance with showing respect, but at the same time, honor to him, just because we wanted to send him off, you know, with honor and respect for all the hours and days that he contributed to the album. So we left aspects in there, showed his mom and brother and father everything we were doing and got their blessing and used his photo and promos and all that stuff, because, you know, we didn't want to be like, this didn't happen, but we also didn't want to use it as like, oh, this happened and now we're going to use this to our benefit. We just wanted to show honor and respect to him, his family, and whatnot, and just really, really do it justice.
And for those who might not be aware, War of Ages lost their drummer, Caleb Lubachow, in 2022 unexpectedly. Leroy, I don't know if you'd like to share a little bit about what happened.
In general, we know that he hit his head in Paris and got a mild concussion and then rode a plane, which is a lot of pressure in the brain. You know, that much we do know, and what contributed to that and how this all happened, we don't know. You know, that's the reality.
Huge loss for the War of Ages family and for the metal community.
Yeah, he was an incredible drummer. You ask anybody that's played alongside him, you ask anybody who's trying to learn his songs, you ask anyone, he was gifted. He was a gift to us. He was a gift to the community, the metal community. He was an amazing, amazing person in general. So, you know, it was difficult. I can honestly say it was a challenge. And people would ask us, are you still going to keep going? And obviously with love, you know, and we couldn't answer it. We just didn't know. We still, to this day, like, we're like, we'll take it as it comes, you know, blessed to be able to play some shows and whatnot. But
you have to take it one step at a time.
Not only did I spend time with you guys and Caleb at Loud and Proud, but also he won a Grizzly Award for the Drum of the Year for 2021.
Yes,
and
he
and his mom came to the Grizzly Awards to accept his award, and we spent some time with them. was very sad for us too.
Yeah.
So he did complete all the drumming tracks on the album, correct?
Yep. Album was finished and he put a stamp on it. It was done. You know, everything he needed to do, anything that he was as the drummer would contribute was finished.
I think that's very fitting. I think y'all have done him right.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. I want to be like Luby and leave a legacy.
I agree.
It may not be a fantastic metal album like he did.
Uh-huh.
But I want to somehow touch some people's lives so that they can continue the cycle, you know? And that's what he's going to do. The music is going to lead people to the Lord, to touch souls, heal people, and it's his legacy.
Right. I agree.
And I think it's beautiful. I'm glad you kept all that in there.
Yeah.
Now, have you got a touring drummer that is trying to fill those shoes? Who are you using?
So on the first little run that we did, we used a friend of ours that played bass for us for a minute, but he played drums for Jack's other band, Hope of the Dying.
Uh-huh.
And then this recent one, we used Isaiah from Phineas.
Isaiah Perez?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
We're using Isaiah. Which is kind of funny because Luby had a tour opportunity that he was going to take and we needed a drummer and he shot out Isaiah's name right away. Like, why can Isaiah do it? I think he can handle it. We reached out to Isaiah and said, hey, would you be willing to do this? Here's the story. And he was like, absolutely, I'd be honored.
He's a beast. It's a good one.
He is. He's a beast. And, you know, so we have some other stuff we're trying to line up. The possibility of doing a little more.
Mm-hmm.
So he's down. He said, like, let's do it. Loved you guys. You know, we all genuinely got along really well. So it may be that he kind of comes in and fills the shoes. So we'll see. We'll see how it all goes, you know.
So what's the most important song on this album?
You know, I think it would be different for all of us. It's so hard. When we were picking singles, we picked five, you know, like, we were back and forth on five different ones, and so was the label, like so was Jason. So it was hard to pick one, but if I had to pick one lyrically that I just love and performance-wise, it would have to be Laodicea. Really like Famine too, but Laodicea just has a special place with me just because it is what the song is about, the church, and it is about calling on the Holy Spirit to come and change my life. To rain down and just change me, change us. I love the chorus, you know, the Holy Spirit come in times of darkness, Holy Spirit come. I mean, that whole chorus was in my heart when we wrote it. And I've always talked about like trial by fire and using fire to refine us. And the whole premise and idea of that is like, so whenever you have gold or you find gold, and you heat it up to the point where it's melted, okay? And the imperfections in gold float to the top, all right? And then you scrape that off, and then you let it cool. And that gold is even more pure than when you first started. So you heat it again, and you know, the rest of the imperfections will come to the surface. You do that multiple times. Each time it runs through that melting process, those flames, it becomes more and more pure. So the whole idea of that is using that fire in life, that Holy Spirit fire, to purify your soul, to clean you up. And of course, Laodicea, being the church of lukewarm, stagnant life, that's kind of where I see humanity as a whole right now. It's like, one, everybody's a Christian, but are they really? Nobody really knows what they believe. You know, I could probably recite parts of the Bible and most Christians will not even realize I'm reciting scripture, you know, because they've never really read it or don't fully understand it or just know their verses, you know. So my goal with that song was to wake up a generation, a church that has been sleeping, and light some fire under them, refine them. So that's why that song is so important to me, lyrically, because I feel like that's where we're at as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
We're just really stagnant. And, you know, like I said, I hear it all the time. Everybody's a believer. Everybody believes, you know, but does anybody truly live it? Mm-hmm. I would say no. There's so much confusion out there that I'm like, yeah. And, I mean, we were asked the question the other day at a VIP where the gentleman that asked the question said, you know, I have a daughter And is there anything that I can tell her besides the token, you should read your Bible? And I'm like, the token, you should read your Bible. You know, no offense to him, but it's like, yeah, you should read your Bible. The living word of God that literally tells you truth. I tell my kids all the time, if someone tells you something, you have the ability to decide and decipher whether it's BS or not.
Yeah.
All you have to do is take in information from whatever teacher, whoever's telling you information, apply it to scripture and decide whether it holds water or not. That's the way to figure out whether somebody's knocking out their rear end or not. You know? It always fascinates me. You know, we're a generation that doesn't know scripture, but we know truth. Or we're so confused about life. Yeah, because you don't know scripture. That's why you're confused. Yeah, when people ask me questions, my first question to them is, are you a believer? And then usually, yeah. Okay, well, then we're going to have a different set of questions and a totally different type of conversation. If someone's like, no, I don't believe, I'm like, well, I'm not going to necessarily waste my time with arguing, you know, right. What you don't believe anyway. You know, something that's interesting, I was listening to a speaker the other day, and 41 times Jesus walked away from people. 41 times. He walked away from 1,000. He walked away from the rich man. It wasn't like, oh, you don't believe? Well, let's discuss this. He walked away. And it wasn't like, my heart hurts. I'm sure it did. But he washed his hands and was like, there's nothing I can do. Yeah. So it's like when people want to argue with me, I'm like, you're literally wasting my time. And to be honest, I'm wasting your time. Because you're not going to agree with anything I'm saying anyway. It's going to be so foreign to you that you're going to be like, you're out of your mind. Maybe. You know, and then Christians in general will be, you know, so hell-bent on not wanting to offend or not wanting to be hated. And Jesus was like, yeah, they hate you, but remember, they hated me first. You know, if they want to know truth, I'll tell them truth and it'll be scriptural truth. And if they want to get mad, I just go, well, you're kind of getting mad at the wrong God in your mind. Like, I am not that. I'm using this biblical information to tell you what is right and wrong, so you can take it or not.
There you go. What else are you playing off of your new album in your current set?
Yeah, we played Famine, which is another goodie. Mm-hmm. Love Famine. And that one's about one of the horsemen, obviously, the one that is Famine. And then we played Dominus, which is hands down my favorite breakdown we've ever written, even though it's one of the hardest breakdowns for me to, like, time-wise. Because such a weird slowdown. But it is literally hands down my favorite breakdown we've ever written.
Wow.
It reminds me of Terror.
Okay. Nice.
It's funny because when we released that song as a single, there was a post that someone said, I don't even believe in God, but I love this song. Been rocking it out ever since. You know, we get that from time to time. And what's hilarious about that is the fact that, like, this is a dude that doesn't believe in God, that's jamming this song and loves this song. And that song is literally a prayer over his life. You know, it's literally calling on the Holy Spirit to change his life, to change his soul. So words matter and speaking things out matter. So I pray he sings that song every day. You know,
amen.
And he's literally singing, Holy Spirit, come, refine through fire, never ending hope, you know.
That reminds me, you told me a story about someone who was not a believer that came to you one day and said, hey, now I get it.
Yeah, yeah. There was a band we played with on tour, and they were not go on tour with all kinds of bands, but this particular band was not a believing band. But one of the guys in the band hit me up later and said, hey, I just want you to know I'm now going to church, has a kid and married, and, you know, it's completely, like, changed his life. And he is a believer. And yeah, and I'm not saying that that was, like, because of War of Ages, you know, but enough for him to reach out to me and say something. And that's huge. Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing we've ever wanted, and there's been others in the past. We don't see them all the time. We don't get to hear these stories all the time. But that legacy you talked about, like, I've always just wanted to leave a legacy, you know, and this kind of, I guess we'll drive into this, but, you know, as you get older and you have family of your own and, you know, you're been doing this as long as we have, you know, every band guy wants to be the biggest band of his genre in the world. That is a goal every band dude has. And for me, that's the same. You know, I would love for War of Ages to be this major success and go on to do things. As you get older, you kind of think about it differently. Whereas I'm not against it if that's what the Lord wants. But the one thing that I have to remember is that we in the band world are put on pedestals. The bigger you get, the more you get and the more responsibility you have. And because of that, would I really want that and trade, in a sense, the crowns I'd receive in heaven for doing what I do and changing lives at this level? Would I be willing to trade those crowns for crowns here on earth? You know, and what I mean by that is the success, the money, the all the glory, all the, you know, would I be willing to trade that? Probably not. Mm-mm. Unless it was totally the Lord. You know, so if he wants that, awesome. Let's go. But if not, I'm okay. Like, I'm content. I'm happy. You know, I will glorify him in all things. You know, the success, however big, small, whatever, I will always, always glorify him. I will always be happy with what we've done at whatever level that is. So, yeah, I mean, that's just something that I've thought about recently is, every album you're like, this is gonna be it, you know. this is you know, as my brother used to say, like, next year, man, tour bus. You know? And I just so passed all that I'm just like, we're just gonna create good music and it's gonna do what it's gonna do, and we're gonna play for people, and if they enjoy it, awesome. Change lives even better.
Amen.
At whatever level.
There you go.
What's coming up next? You got some more shows?
Yeah, I mean, we got some things we're working on. Nothing's concrete except for a small run that we're going to do through Ohio and Michigan with Disciple.
Oh, nice.
And that's in the spring. But we're working on winter and kind of seeing if there is anything we can do. You know, games kind of changed a little bit because things are more expensive because mm-hmm. of inflation and whatever else. Not to mention we all have families and we all have, you know, we do need to make something. So the days of just going out and being like, okay, sweetie, I'm going to head out on tour and probably not going to make anything, you know, or our van's going to break down and all the money's going to go into that, but then I'll be home and it'll be great. You know, it's just not in the cards at, yeah. You know, 42 years old. So
you got any videos coming out?
Yeah, we just shot a video for Famine.
Okay.
And they're working on it, pulling things together. It's going to be a very, very interesting video, unlike anything we've ever done before. We've always tried to, like, do some things like, you know, rain or, you know, powder, you know, just try to do different things. Paint, glow-in-the-dark paint. That was a nightmare. you know, like, try to do things that are interesting. But this one was probably the easiest video we've ever shot. I would have to say, but I think the way I see it in my head, I think it's going to be like the most incredible video we've ever shot. It's all green screen, and we've seen green screen really bad, and we've seen green screen really good. So we're going for good.
Okay.
We're going for...
Like more realistic.
More realistic, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how it turns out.
Thank you all for right. doing this. I appreciate you so much, and we'll see you out on the road one day.
All righty. I'll see you later.
All right. Good night.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music, and check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.